something we hope you'll really like.
Uh-huh.
Bob McClain.
It has arrived once again, the beginning of the end. The fourth and final hour, the Bobby Mack Electric Radio Program. Thank you for joining me in the evening commute here on this Tuesday. In this hour, we do what we do in all of the hours. Let's do that. Just grab the phone. Use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. The Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, if texting is your preferred mode of communication. That number is 71307, and my email address, bob@1063word.com. Let's get right to the phones, because RJ, who's our leadoff batter here in the bonus hour, has been waiting patiently through the newscast. Hi, RJ, and welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call today, Mr. McClain.
Yes, sir. My pleasure.
And it is a pleasure to wait to speak to you, no matter how long I have to wait. You never made me wait a severely long time, but in response, waiting is a pleasure to wait to speak to you, Bob.
Very kind. Thank you, sir.
Bob, I wanted to get your take on the election. I try to follow this stuff as close as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And did we have record turnout at this year's midterm? And the reason I'm asking is I heard a poll that 40% of the voters voted to support our president, and 38% of the voters voted in protest of our president. So I'm wondering, did we have record turnout, or what was it?
Yeah, it depends on the individual precincts and the individual state that you're talking about. But yeah, speaking in general terms, we did have massive turnout this time. And the surprising thing, I think, to the media was that the turnout of Republican voters pretty much matched that of Democrat voters across the country. Now, obviously, there are red states, blue states that have a higher proportion of one and or the other. But generally speaking, yeah, the turnout was substantially more than you would typically expect in a midterm election.
Yes, that's what I thought of that poll that I just recited. That I actually got that off of one of the left-wing news cable shows, which,
right.
You know, I was surprised they reported it as accurately as they did. I figured that maybe it must be true if they reported it that way. And also, Bob, I was glad to hear Orlando's take on Florida not ever going back blue. I lived in Florida for a short period of time, and
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of left-wing people hanging out down there.
Yes, there are, and they are ensconced in these enclaves, and two of the biggest are, of course, Palm Beach County, which ironically is where Rush Limbaugh lives and does his show from, and Broward County. Both of those are big blue enclaves.
And this Arizona thing with Jeff Flake's seat, can you explain to me, does it look like the voter fraud stole that from us?
Yeah,
Bob,
that is my impression, because when they have things like allowing emergency early voting in predominantly Democrat districts and precincts, it just screams that there is ballot box stuffing going on.
And no disrespect meant towards Cindy McCain, but I could see her voting that way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Just to even the score, so to speak?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I loved John McCain's military service.
Agreed.
But I never understood his politics. I really never did.
No, I always had a difficult time figuring that out as well. But some things are just inexplicable, I guess.
I took it as he just did not like Trump, and he was going to go against anything Trump did.
Certainly. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And I hate to speak ill of the dead, but that was a very selfish move on his part, because it has saddled the rest of America with Obamacare and the best opportunity that the GOP had to overturn it. And, of course, you know, he was right there to vote against it, overturning it.
Right, correct. And to run on the premise of, wanting to come up with some type of health care, because he ran on that, Bob.
Well, he ran TV commercials in his last campaign extorting his willingness to get back to Washington to do away with Obamacare. All of his TV ads had video of him speaking on the stump, talking about overturning Obamacare and getting big cheers. And then, of course, you know, it's tell the voters one thing and get back to Washington and vote another way.
That's correct. And on Rush's show last week, when the turmoil started to surface of the recount in Florida,
right.
Rush commented and said that they were not going to steal Florida, because Scott had a lot more resources and was going to use them to try to keep that from happening. So he wanted to assure the listeners that Florida would not be stolen. So do you see that happening,
That's a good question. I think that when all is said and done, that Senate seat will go Republican. And the same for the governorship. I just think that cheat as much as they might, the raw vote tally of the legitimate voting numbers make it really, really difficult for the Democrats to be able to steal those two. So I think those will end up in the GOP column. RJ, thanks very much for the call. I appreciate you joining us this evening. 14 after 6 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Bobby, in on the text line, there are so many things in this country that President Trump does not know. It would take more than two terms to fix what the Democrats have successfully done over the years. There is no question that the swamp is wide and deep, but I believe the president is doing all that he can to try and stave it off. Bob, because of California, they created a law that says the only money they have to spend bowing, it's the money that the government gives them. So sad. Oh, and a traffic spotter here, one of our Wazers for Annie. Woodruff passed 14 towards Five Forks. Left-hand lane, police have just arrived, or at least fire, judging from how tall the lights are, from Katie. Thanks, Katie. Appreciate that. Bobby Mack, it would hurt your feelings if you knew how much the government paid Boeing every year for that site in California. I want to cry sometimes just thinking about it. And finally this, Mr. McLean, I stopped listening after Deviled Eggs Are Bad. They are my whole life. Love the show. Semper Fi. There you go. Semper Fi and oorah. 6:15 here on the Bobby Mack Show. When we come right back on the other side, The new genius arriving in the House, the Socialist Democrat, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, spent her first visit outside of Nancy Pelosi's office protesting. That'll make a friend of the pending once and future Speaker of the House. Be right back. McLean. Great to have you along. Been a pretty cloudy, gray day here in the upstate, but towards the end of the week, and weekend is looking a little bit better, I'm happy to say. Meantime, in our nation's capital, in Washington, D.C. today, here is the latest news from the nation's capital. Ah, right, thank you. That's enough of that. Moments after arriving on Capitol Hill for freshman orientation, Representative-elect Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat Socialist New York, went to the office of House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. It wasn't to speak with Pelosi about her run for speakership in the House, but to join an impromptu sit-in outside of Pelosi's office to push for congressional action on, wait for it, climate change. Quote, "We need to tell her that we've got her back in showing and pursuing the most progressive energy agenda that this country has ever seen," Ocasio-Cortez said while standing in the middle of a group of about 200 idiot protesters holding signs reading, "Green Jobs for All." The protesters want Democrat leaders to put forward a Green New Deal that includes a swift transition to 100% renewable energy, in line with findings of a recent report on climate change by the United Nations. By the way, I have another story on that in the Bobby Mac stack. They did the math wrong in that UN report on climate change. Yeah, they somebody did a deep dive into it and said, wait a minute, these numbers don't add up. Fox News has learned 51 protesters were arrested today after refusing to leave a hallway outside Pelosi's office. Pelosi, who is in New York today, has been a major advocate for the battle against climate change, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that the protest is outside Pelosi's office while she's trying to round up support to make her speaker may not be the avenue that Ms. Ocasio-Cortez wants to pursue. It could backfire on her, and she could find herself, as a result, a member of the Joint Committee on the Library. Or how about the Joint Committee on Printing? Or how about the Joint Select Committee on Budget and Appropriations Process Reform? Or she could find herself on the committee investigating radar sites in Alaska. We shall see. In on the text line, Bobby, Trump is draining the swamp, but all he has to do it with is a teaspoon. No kidding. It is an uphill slog, and I commend him for what he's doing. Meantime, Republicans still control the House. New Democrat House doesn't take over until January. Senators returned to Washington today and immediately picked up where they left off, processing President Trump's judicial nominees over the objections of Democrats. The Judiciary Committee held a hearing for Paul B. Mattey, nominated to the 3rd U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, and 4 district court picks. Mr. Mattey's nomination, particularly controversial because it marks another round in the fight over Senate traditions and courtesies and their abuse in the era of Mr. Trump. Can you tell this is from the Washington Times? Mr. Mattey is slated to fill a seat on the appeals court that's traditionally ascribed to New Jersey. But that state's senators, both Democrats, object to the president's pick and withheld their blue slips to signify their opposition. To say that my objections to this judge is just because they're conservative is just not fair, said Senator Spartacus Cory Booker, arguing he wasn't properly consulted on Mr. Mattey's nomination. Oh, his widow feelings are hurt. I wasn't properly consulted. So despite that, the nominations were heard anyway. To the phones we go, joined this evening by Lou, who is in beautiful Campobello. Hi, Lou, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bobby. You know, I'm talking to people about this caravan coming up, and
right,
as we've stated between us, I can't think of one good thing that this caravan is going to do for the United States. It may be good for the people who are legitimately trying to escape the persecution that they say they're under, but I think if it was up for one political party, they would get their asylum, they would get their voter registration card,
yep,
and they'd probably get their ticket for Uber to getting them to the next election.
I can think of one good thing to come out of this, and that is it's good practice in military exercises.
Well, you know, hopefully the military, there won't be an accident on the border where somebody gets shot, so the Democrats can use this as a stumping tool in 2020.
Well, I don't even know that they'll have live ammunition.
Well, they may not. Well, you know, giving someone a rifle without live ammunition is probably making them a bigger target than they already are.
Sadly.
But you know, again, I've asked a lot of people, what good does this do? Take the religious factor of helping your fellow man out, because sometimes you have to make tough decisions.
Yep.
What good does allowing these people into our country actually do for us? And no one has still been able to give me an answer of what it's going to do. Having people show up on your southern border and demand to come in. I mean, some countries would probably take that as an act of war. Try doing that with North Korea, Russia, or China.
Right. Well, try doing it with Mexico.
Well, you know, it's funny. You saw them overwhelm the military that they had placed on their southern border.
Yep.
And again, these don't seem like people, because if I'm not mistaken, Mexico offered some of them asylum.
They did.
But they're not going to get the free ride that they're looking for. So that asylum from the persecution they say they're getting just isn't quite good enough. You would think if people were offered asylum wherever they are and they wanted to work, they wanted to contribute, they wanted to thrive, Mexico, which speaks their language, would be probably one of the best places they can go.
Well, wait a second. Wouldn't you think, with the Democrats constantly harping about what a racist, xenophobic nation America is, why would you want to come to a place like that anyway?
Well, like I said, when they come in, you know as well as I do, they're going to get a lot of benefits that a lot of Americans aren't going to get,
yep,
probably when they work their whole life.
Well, that's one thing that will come of it, is a continuing overwhelming of our entitlement system. More than half of Americans right now receive more in entitlements, pure entitlements. I'm going to talk about Social Security. More than half of Americans receive more in entitlements than they pay in taxes. How long can that go on?
Well, like I said, if you want to question it scientifically, fill a bucket with a gallon of water, take it out at 0.5 gallons a minute, fill it at 0.499. Eventually, that bucket will go empty.
Yep. Yeah, this is true. This is true. Let's hope that there is not a violent confrontation of the border. But at least we finally have a president who is doing something more than just welcoming them with open arms and saying, yeah, come on in and take over our country and acquire all the benefits of citizenship illegally.
And you know, Bobby, I can't think of the Democrats. Why are you fighting for this? There's got to be something. I mean, do you want to see the country exposed to the potential? I'm not saying all these people are criminal.
Right.
Some of them are probably very hardworking, decent people. But do you want to see the element come in that could tear this country down?
And the answer obviously is yes. If the people that are in positions of power are Democrats, then it's perfectly okay. And that's pathetic.
And you would have thought that decent people, either Democratic or Republican after your name, would have saw that and voted differently, but apparently I'm wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. If your ambition was to do what is right for the country, they would have a different opinion. Lou, as always, thanks for the call. Have a good evening, sir.
You too.
Appreciate it. 6:30 here on the Bobby Mack Show, actually. 6:31 as Annie gets ready to go in the news center. I'm right back with the last half of the bonus hour here on Tuesday. Welcome back. Last half of the bonus hour here on a kind of cloudy, gray, and depressing-looking Tuesday, but at least it's not pouring down rain. Thank goodness for small favors. In on the text line, 71307. Bobby Mack, did I hear right? 50 people arrested for being outside Nancy Pelosi's office, yet No arrests were made in all of the protests in the face of our Republican senators at the Kavanaugh hearing. What? From John Pete. Well, you didn't hear about it in the media, but there were plenty of arrests that were made of those individuals. And right there standing nearby, wearing their official attorney ambulance chasing outfits, were George Soros paid attorneys with wads of cash. And as these people were arrested, they would pull out money, give it to them, they'd pay their fine, and then they'd go right back and protest some more. Some of those people at the Kavanaugh hearings were arrested, released, arrested again, released, and arrested again, and released. And if you're playing along at home, yes, they were arrested three times in the same day. Jeez. But, you know, they are, they're well equipped. They have plenty of ammunition, plenty of George Soros cash. Bob, I sadly fear this migratory pile of illegals heading our way, and they are illegal aliens in Mexico headed for the United States are only going to be repulsed with loss of life. May God help our military when that happens. I hope it doesn't come to that, but this president does mean business about our having borders. Mr. McLean, I have a question. Is Caitlyn Jenner a victim of the white male patriarchy or an oppressive benefactor? Or both? Not that there's anything wrong with that. Laugh out loud. Bob, you can do that, as the illegals are doing to our border. You can do that with North Korea. You just won't be able to ever leave. Yeah, they do have, I think, some welcoming camps for them there in North Korea. Bob, so Crazy Eyes Ocasio wants 100% renewable energy. See my previous text about folks in hell wanting ice water. Bob, if Pelosi and Clinton are good friends, Cortez might find herself pushing up daisies. A victim of an accident, you know, right? Now, I love it when the politically correct left begins to devour their own. It's always interesting when their own political correctness comes back to bite them in the gluteus maximus and they end up chewing off their own arm. Here's a story this evening from the State newspaper, also known as La Socialista, down in Colombia. Detractors, says the headline, detractors using racial dog whistle tactics in House leadership race. Clyburn says, here we go. Representative Jim Clyburn of South Carolina today accused detractors of using racially charged dog whistles to undermine his bid for the number three slot in House Democratic leadership. Wait a second. This whole phrase, dog whistles, aren't dog whistles unheard by human ears? So if you're using a dog whistle, how can anybody hear it? But I digress. Clyburn, the current assistant Democratic leader and highest-ranking black lawmaker in Congress, told McClatchy News Service race was being injected into the competition for House Majority Whip. Well, I hate to break it to him, but race was already injected, and that's the reason he got the position he has. Because the Democrats suddenly turned around and looked and said, oh, wait a second. We got a lot of white faces here. And so they tossed Clyburn a bone and created this number three spot for him. Clyburn did not offer names of those he considers the offenders. I don't know where it's all coming from, Clyburn said in an interview with McClatchy. That's the news service. But someone came to me over the weekend and told me, hey, they heard when I was whip before, I was a figurehead. Suggestions that as the only black member of the leadership team, he was a token and not an effective leader were tantamount to, quote, the little dog whistles that have been floating around this side for a long time, Clyburn said. What do you mean I was a figurehead? Nothing could be further from the truth, he added. And, of course, we remember how much we've heard about what Jim Clyburn is accomplishing in Congress for the people of Orangeburg in America. Clyburn came of age in the segregated South and was frequently jailed for fighting for civil rights. Didn't win his first election until 1992 at the age of 52. The majority whip will be the third ranking position in the House Democrat leadership when the party takes control of the chamber next year. The whip is charged with rounding up votes on the House floor and occasionally pressuring wavering colleagues to vote the way leadership desires. There's a reason the position is called whip, okay? Because you go around essentially with a Louisville slugger and you threaten to break kneecaps unless you vote the way that Nancy wants. Representative Diana DeGetti, or DeGetti, Democrat Colorado, was challenging Clyburn for the job. Clyburn, who was the whip the last time Democrats held the majority from 07 to 11, said as of this afternoon he had not spoken to her since she declared her candidacy and did not blame her as the source of the rhetoric. I don't think, wait a second, I just inadvertently lost the story here. Wait a second. Said, I don't think is complimentary to the Democrat caucus. DeGetti's spokesman, Matt Inzio, said the congresswoman categorically and respectfully rejected the notion that she or her supporters were using racially motivated talking points to undermine Clyburn. But see, Clyburn has to be careful about criticizing her because she's a woman. So they're going to end up having a little guerrilla warfare here. Maybe they could arm wrestle for it and put it on pay-per-view. 7:15. Be right back. Welcome back. Great to have you along the closing minutes of the Bobby Mack Show here on this Tuesday. You want another example of the level of corruption that's going on in Washington. Jerome Corsi, who back in the day was a frequent guest on this program back, 2007, 2008, and even into 9 and 10, I guess, now believes that he is going to be charged by Mueller with some kind of process crime. He believes that they have tried to loop him in to some kind of perjury charge. Meantime, does the name Jeannie Rhee, R-H-E-E, sound familiar? She is a prosecutor who previously represented Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Crime Family Foundation, an attorney who appeared as a witness before the Mueller grand jury, is accusing the special counsel's office of a conflict of interest because Ms. Rhee is one of the prosecutors involved in the special counsel's case, and she previously, as I said, worked for Hillary and for the Clinton Foundation. The prosecutor, Jeannie Rhee, has questioned witnesses about Roger Stone, the Trump confidant who is one of the targets of the investigation. Rhee questioned Tyler Nixon, an attorney for Mr. Stone, just before his grand jury appearance on November 2nd. Quote, Rhee's involvement was not disclosed to me prior to my testimony, and I find this to be deeply troubling, and certainly Ms. Rhee should be recused or removed from the investigation. Among the reasons that Democrats have called for Whitaker's recusal are his comments criticizing the Trump-Russia probe, as well as his work in 2014 on the political campaign for Sam Clovis, a former Trump campaign manager. So while in one breath they're calling for Whitaker to not be the acting attorney general, and instead they would prefer to see, of course they would, Rod Rosenstein as the acting AG. Meantime, House Minority Leader, California Republican Adam Schiff, cited Whitaker's work with Clovis in a letter to the Justice Department's top ethics officials. Ree's work on the special counsel's team poses a larger conflict of interest, certainly than Whitaker's links to Clovis. I find it astonishing that there are cries for the recusal for Mr. Whitaker when I know that I was personally interviewed on behalf of the special counsel by an attorney, Jeannie Ree, who was Hillary Clinton's and the Clinton Foundation's personal attorney not 1 or 2 years prior to joining the special counsel. Anybody see a problem? But look, we've known for a long time that Mueller's staff is heavily concentrated with Hillary contributors to her campaign, with longtime Democrats, and the list goes on and on. So what's going to happen as a result of this? Yeah, you know as well as I do. Essentially, nothing is going to happen. Now, we'll see if Jerome Corsi does end up being indicted here, and he's already said he believes that will happen tomorrow or so. It'll be curious to see, because the Democrats, they keep hoping against hope that Mueller actually has something. Here we are 2 years down the road into his investigation of so-called Russian collusion. And we know there was collusion with the Russians, but the extent of it was this Steele character inventing this phony dossier. And Rosenstein certainly has more reasons to be recused from involvement in this than Whitaker does. I mean, it was Rosenstein who signed off on two of the FISA warrants to be able to spy on the Trump campaign. The breadth and depth of this goes on and on. Hump day tomorrow. We will see you then. Have a great evening. God bless.
Well, kids, that... And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter.
Every time we say goodbye.
Goodbye.
You say goodbye, and I say hello.
Hello. I must be going. I must be going.
So long, farewell. Auf Wiedersehen, saying goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye to you.
I'll be back.
Goodbye to you.
Goodbye.
Concludes our broadcast day.
I go take my siesta now.
Goodbye.